Amen. Father God, we just praise and glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Another new day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy upon all of us, Lord. We ask and we pray that you fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, Lord. That your word would come alive every time that we read it, Father God, and we praise you for that. And Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful promises you've given us and all the commands that you've given us. And help us, Lord, to walk in those commands so that our promises would be flowing into us. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we're all starting to look like Jesus, sound like Jesus, and act like Jesus. And we praise you and thank you for all that you're going to accomplish this night in the name of Jesus. And Father, the subject that I have in mind, Lord, let's expound on it in a way that would be beneficial to everybody in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Let's see. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing to the deep state. You're decimating them. You are not only decimating them, the heads of these things are being taken care of also. And Father God, we praise you and we thank you for bringing the whole thing down. And we Shoo wee. And we thank you, Lord, for doing all that you can to keep bringing every one of them down in Jesus' name. Oh, I wished I could tell you some things, but boy, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that is absolutely astounding. Absolutely astounding. Peace. There will be peace in the valley. Oh, yeah. All right. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yes, Julie, go ahead. I see you. I see you. I see you.
Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for Tom Hoffman, Mr. Hoffman, and what he's doing with ICE and
Omen.
Homan, Hoffman, Homan. Thank you for him. God bless him
Amen.
and
Thank you,
everybody
Lord.
who's working with this department and all law enforcement who are working with ICE. And we thank you for helping them, God, with the angelic beings and what they're doing on the ground and apprehending all these illegals and these criminals and very dangerous people and eliminating them and removing them from from this country and all of their tricks that they've been doing. They've been getting caught, Lord, and I thank you that
Amen.
the illegals, they cannot hide. They cannot continue to get away with what they're doing. I thank you that whatever plans that they still have for this lawlessness and rioting and standing up against law enforcement and ICE on the 18th of this month, it will fail in the
Amen.
name of Jesus. I thank
Amen.
you, Lord, that the playbook that they were, I read about what they're doing, and it just all seems to be happening exactly according to this plan. Lord, this has been seen, this has been exposed, and I thank you, Lord, for bringing it down and what the enemy means for good, Lord, I thank you for turning it around and using it. What the enemy means for evil, Lord, turn around and use it for good. And wake people up, God. Just wake them up to what's really happening on in the world. Draw them to Jesus because there's no other way, no other place of safety. And man can't save them. The government can't save them. And just keep a hedge of protection around our family members, Lord, with all of this uncertainties and things that are happening, that they stay safe and they not want to get involved with any kind of rebellion. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you for bringing them all down. Getting
Amen.
all these illegals out of here. Thank you, Jesus. You got your. What are you doing, Missy?
Your volume is on the low side. You're kind of little.
What?
You can't hear you very well.
Oh, you can't hear me very well? It's almost sticking in my face.
Now it is.
Okay. All right. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to pray about or talk about? Hey, wait a minute. I want to ask Obadiah, what happened to your legs? I can't see them. I still can't see them. What happened to them? You got, is that camouflage? That's why I can't see them. You got camouflage on. My goodness, boy. They're invisible.
I'm sitting on a bed, that's why.
Oh, okay. All right, the voice of reason. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I was making fun of your camouflage stuff. All right, who's next? I got a little something that I'd like to share with you if I could, and it's pretty interesting. This is from some of you may have heard it before, I don't know. But it's Jim Cimbala of the what's the name of that church up there? Madison Square, Manhattan, Madison Square Garden. What's the name of that does all that good singing? That big church.
Is that Brooklyn
Brooklyn.
Tabernacle?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Four C
Brooklyn.
Square. Was it four C? Was it
He's
four
the
C?
pastor of that church.
Yeah.
He's a good, he used to be a basketball player years and years ago, professional. Anyway, this is, he has entitled this, "My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer." And I think that a lot of times we lose sight of the fact that when we come together, the Lord wants us to be praying a lot and to be doing the things that He wants us to do. Listen, I'm just going to show you what he showed me. And you ought to go on YouTube if you can. I think it's still up. I hadn't seen it, and it's been months and months. But he says, it's a real joy to be here. He said, "I want to talk for a few moments about something so vital yet so simple, and it's so familiar to us that that's the danger." And he said, "I want our session this morning to be something that will make a difference in our lives rather than just some kind of talk with more information about God. And I pray that by His grace, we can have fresh communion with God. To approach that subject, I want to give you one of the most strange and stunning pictures of Jesus found anywhere in the Bible. Of all the portraits you've ever seen painted, there is no portrait found in the Bible that is stranger. We see Christ on the cross. We know Christ as the Good Shepherd. We know Christ walking on the water. We see Christ sitting at the well with the woman from Samaria. But in your wildest dreams, can you ever picture this? Have you ever wondered why God would put this in the Bible? Not just once, but twice." And he goes on and says, "And so they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And then he taught them, saying, 'Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of thieves.' And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, and all the people were astonished by his teaching. And when evening had come, he went out of the city." Now, the Bible has many pictures of Jesus Christ, and to me, none is stranger. The Lamb of God, the one who came to take away the sins of the world. The gentle, loving Jesus, who as the good shepherd puts the lamb on his shoulders and brings it home. Yet in this portion of scripture, we see Jesus physically emoting in a way that is really hard for us to picture, that he would actually take tables and overturn them and throw money on the ground, that he somehow, all by himself, with no armed helpers, he puts in parentheses, the disciples were passive in this, no armed helpers would stop people from carrying their merchandise. And just by a word of authority said, get out of here with that. You can't bring that through the court. That he would go to those who sold the oxen and the sheep and the doves for the poor people. That he would say, out, get your business out of here. It's an amazing picture of Jesus Christ, the loving Jesus that we know. We think that for anyone to be that irate and physical must mean they're not in the spirit. But this is Jesus Christ. And what's strange about this is not the first time this has happened. I read from Mark. The Bible tells us in John, the second chapter, that in Jesus' first visit to the temple, after he began his public ministry when he was about 30 years old, he did the same exact thing. In fact, the Bible tells us there, are you ready? That he made a whip out of cords and used a cord to actually physically thrash them out of the temple. And now it's 2 or 3 years later. From there, and he's getting ready to face Calvary, and he comes back to the temple and he cleanses it again. Why would God put something so stunning in the Bible that he would go into the holy temple of God and get so physical and so irate and said, you've made it a house of merchandise. You've made it a den of thieves. Get out of here. Is it not written, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer? Now, what's odd about all of this is the people who were there belong there. The people who were selling the animals had to be near the temple precincts because there was no way to offer the sacrifice prescribed in Leviticus in the book of Moses unless somebody could have those animals available for you. You couldn't be carting these animals from your home or all over the streets of Jerusalem. So those people belonged there, but they had put a gauging uplift on the price. They were making money hand over fist, taking advantage of the fact that they were the ones who could assist. They were hiking the prices up so that people were getting taken advantage of. And the money changers, you had to pay the temple tax if you were a good Jew. You couldn't use Greek or Roman money. You had to actually use the special coins that were minted in Jerusalem itself. So those money changers were there to take your money from wherever you came from, Macedonia or whatever. And you changed your money so that you could make the proper donation. But they were, once again, tacking on big-time profit. And the people carrying stuff through the temple. Actually, the writers of that time tell us that instead of going around the temple, they said, let's take a shortcut. And they went through the court of the Gentiles, right through the temple, carting their stuff, making the house of God a shortcut to big-time money. And Jesus, with his whip made of cords, and Jesus somehow physically with just his presence and his authority, just thrashes them right there and kicks them all out. Before I get to my main point, it does remind us that all of us who are involved in singing in choirs, preaching the gospel, pastoring churches, gospel singing, whatever the style is, blues, and you who are Sunday school teachers, thought I'd throw that in there, because I know there's a lot of influence in this room right now. You're going to go back, and a lot of you are leaders in the place where you came from. Boy, does that challenge us to remember it's not just if you are doing God's work, it's how you do God's work. For the Bible tells us that one day Jim Shambala is going to stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. God's going to ask me why I pastored the Brooklyn Tabernacle and with what spirit. You see, these people were in the temple, but they didn't have the spirit of the temple. They were supposed to be there to assist people to worship and to come into God's presence. They were there, but they were out of sync with the whole purpose that God had for the place called the house of the Lord. They were doing it. They were doing their job, but they were making big time money, and they were greedy, and they had brought a secular spirit into a sacred place. They were businessmen. They were crass businessmen coming into something that God said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer," and you made it a den of thieves. You're getting over on the people out with you, out with you. Awesome thought. And in a day when gospel music, gospel preaching, and gospel work can become so mechanical or oriented toward me, myself, and I, it remains all of us today here at the praise gathering that as we go back to our separate duties, that we have to do God's work with God's Spirit. We have to do God's work and approach it with God's heart. Because one day, it doesn't matter if your friends approve of you or how many albums you sell or how popular Jim Shambala is, and if he writes a book. One day, the Bible says, "I'm going to stand before the one whose eyes are like fire." I can't get over on him. All of you who sing in that choir, it's not just if you're on the note, it's why you are on your note. It's the spirit you do it in. Am I doing it for the glory of God? Do I really care about those people in New York City? I mean, am I preaching just to put on a show and get through another service, or does my heart really radiate with God's love? Am I saying the things he wants me to say with the spirit he wants me to say them in? Why are you teaching that Christian ed class, that Sunday school class? Why are you singing in that choir? Why do you serve? The Bible says that when Jesus went into the temple, he reminded them, "This is not your house. This is my Father's house, and my Father's house has to be run my Father's way." And when you touch something sacred in a secular way, "I'm going to kick you out of here. Kick you all out of here," it says. Even though he's not walking through churches today and kicking people out, there's going to come that day when Paul says we will all stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and we will have to give a review to the Lord. And we will be reviewed on why we did what we did and how we did it. Well, that's not my main point, but that's a well-taken point for all of us, not only on the crass business side of money, because it's so easy to make gospel work just another way to make a living. That's what these people were doing. They weren't interested in people getting in contact with God. They were making a living out of it. But as we do God's work, we must not rob the glory that is only due to him. Whatever we do and whatever we say, the Lord wants to remind us through this that all the glory and all the honor must go to Jesus Christ. But the thing that really provoked Jesus into this angry tirade was this. He said, "You men don't even understand about my Father's house. You've revised and given your opinion about the temple, but the temple does not belong to you. My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves." This is the first principle of religion, so listen closely. Jesus said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer." The atmosphere of my Father's house is supposed to be prayer. The atmosphere around the things of my Father must be that aroma of people opening their heart and coming to my Father in worship, petition, and supplication. And instead of keeping that atmosphere and aiming at that atmosphere and understanding my Father's purpose, You've made it a place just to make a buck. So out with you. My house shall be called a house of prayer. The thing that is supposed to distinguish Christian churches and Christian people and Christian gatherings is the aroma and atmosphere of prayer. You might say, well, Pastor Simbala or Brother Jim, that's not our style. We come from a different tradition. It doesn't matter what your tradition is or what my tradition is. It's his father's house. And his father's house is my house shall be a house of prayer and supplication. Now, we know that that temple is unlike any church. The Brooklyn Tabernacle, the building that I pastor in, is not a sacred building. Your church building is not a sacred building. There are no sacred buildings like the temple. We know that. That temple that sat there in Jerusalem, which now the Mosque of Omar sits on that land, was the only place that God said the brazen altar could be put and the animal sacrifices could be given. It was the only geographical spot in the world where the holy place and the holy of holies could be. So what I'm not trying to say today is that in our churches, there is some counterpart to the temple. We know that. In fact, the Bible says we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But what I want to say to you is that God's work from the very beginning is not like you and I often imagine it. God's work, God's house, the Christian religion is always supposed to have the aroma of prayer. Preaching, yes, but not my house shall be called a house of preaching. Music, yes, but not my house shall be called a house of music. My house shall be called a house of prayer. There were choirs, but it was called a house of prayer. There was the reading of the word, but my house shall be called a house of prayer. So the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ died and resurrected and went back to heaven, he began his church, which the gates of hell shall not prevail against. He kept the same line running through the formation of the church, which was in his father's house. Have you ever noticed that the Christian church was not born while someone was preaching, but while people were praying? Have you ever noticed that in the second chapter of the book of Acts, when the church was born, they were doing nothing but just waiting on God and praying? And they were just sitting there, and as they were praying, worshiping and waiting and having heart communion with God, and God shaping them and cleaning them out and building faith into them and doing those hard operations that only the Holy Spirit can do, the church was born and the Spirit was poured out. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And in the fourth chapter, Peter and John are arrested. They're slapped around and threatened. Don't you preach anymore in that name. And what do? They don't go and protest. They don't go to the Supreme Court. They don't try to get some political leverage. They go back to a prayer meeting. They go back and say, behold the threat, O God. Look how they're threatening to us. But, O God, we lift our voices together to you. O God, behold their threats and give your servants boldness that we may preach the name of Jesus in the name of Jesus. And the place where they prayed was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. My house shall be called the house of prayer. That's all I'm going to read of it, but it goes on and on. I think it kind of brings us all back around to the main subject of what we're supposed to do as we fellowship together a lot of times. And I know we have a Monday night service here locally that is supposed to be devoted to prayer also. And it's sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But once we understand why we are to come together, I believe that we'll have lists of things that we need to pray about. Has anybody got any comments on what I just read that Simbala just told us? I think he's got a lot of truth there, a lot of truth. I know there has to be a preaching of the word, and I know there has to be some glorifying God. And hey, Jesse, and but the primary focus should be, what did Jesus do most of the time? He would leave hundreds of people sitting where they were. They were waiting on healings. They were waiting on a word from him, and he'd leave and go pray. That was because he knew what was important. Y'all remember that, don't you? He did that a number of times. He'd just leave them. He said, I got to go pray. Where did Judas go to find Jesus? He knew where he was going to be. He knew he was going to be in the garden praying. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was reading the book of Acts today. I think it was chapter 8 or 9. Because when I read it, I go back in the previous chapter and I read a few verses from what I read the other day, and then I read the next chapter. And I usually read beyond that chapter to go into chapter 10 too. And I never really noticed that, because we were talking about the temple here. And then there, within that temple, there was an ancient source of light called the Light of Israel, too, you know. And but I was sort of dumbfounded when I came upon these words in the book of Acts, where it says they walked. This is the early church, of course. They walked in the fear of the Lord. And you would think that this would, especially for Jesus's disciples, bring the fear of the Lord. And they were crying in the temple there too, I think, in one of the versions. And because he did healings in it too, in that same area, you know. This temple of the Lord is just a wonderful thing. To walk in the fear of the Lord, then you also have to walk in the wisdom too, and all the other lights that are in that menorah, because you're a child of light. You know, and so it just, I just wanted to. I never noticed that it was to walk in the fear of the Lord. You know, to walk in the light. You know, as He's in the light, and part of that light is to walk in the fear of the Lord. You know, and the wisdom and the knowledge, and walk in the strength of the Lord is one of the lights. You know, and it's the boldness that we're supposed to have when we speak about the Lord's salvation, about His new covenant and stuff, and about your soul and how it works and stuff. And there's so much similitude to this, and I could see why now. You know, like he gave some really good examples there about prayer, and yeah, so let's just, you know, to meditate on the Lord, to sing praises to the Lord. What I used, like in my songs that I have, you know, I say sing this worship song like a prayer, you know. And so even a meditating, and you read the word, you know, of course I prayed about the fear of the Lord, to walk in it, you know, because it's part of the light. And it'll give you wisdom too, because it goes through the whole thing, you know, in the Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and when you get wisdom, get some understanding and then get some knowledge. And pretty soon, you know, you're getting all the lights there that you're supposed to have, and lit up inside of you. And the light of the life and the holiness, that's the Spirit of God in you, you know, and that's central one, you know. It kind of feeds the two branches, so the three on one on the three on the other. And it's just so to walk in that light as He is in the light. And of course it points to this temple as being a tabernacle that's pitched by God. It's put up by God. So it's kind of scary, you know. You get a bit of the fear of the Lord. I got some when you read that. And I also get some fear of the Lord for the people of the church, which people know as the church, you know. And you know, sometimes when you reflect on your past and you see where you are now, and then you want to see so much more too. So all glory and honor unto the Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's right. Get it ready, Julie. That's a good one. Glory be to God. Anybody else? What was amazing to me, and Simbala made reference to it later on in the teaching, was the part where he told about Jesus just turned around and walked off from lots of people that were standing there waiting on a healing, waiting on to hear a word from him, but he had to go talk to the Father. That was more important to him. That's the most important thing, is what he was showing us in that regard. You having trouble hearing me? Okay. And so if Jesus thought it was important, shouldn't we think it'd be important too? Most important. And like Andrew said, when I read that, like he said, the fear of the Lord came on me, you know. Gosh, what have we been doing? And I'm not saying we're all wrong, but we should focus when we come together with our hearts and our minds on the Lord rather than on each other. I hope that makes sense. Anybody else? You want to play that song, Julie? Go ahead, Andrew, if you got something you want to say.
Just wanted to bring it up. Like, we're corporate body, one body. Yeah. But we're also individual too. We have our individual lamp, and we have a corporate lamp here, and we on our corporate lamp to shine for the Lord. And praise the Lord God.
Well, that's what Simbala was bringing out also, that each one of us have our ministry, and if we're doing it as unto the Lord rather than our glory, then that's fine. And that's what we see in the Christian world nowadays, is it's all about the guy standing up in the pulpit or the guy singing the song or whatever, you know. And that ought not to be. He ought to be espousing what the Lord God said. He ought to be going to the Lord and finding out what he wants to, what he needs to preach about or talk about. Praise God. All right, Julie, she got a good song for this particular subject. Get ready. Come out your seat.
A house, make me a house of bread. Lord, make me a house, make me a house of bread, a house of bread.
Lord, make me a house.
You're the fire on my altar, never burn out. The fire on my altar, never burn out. May the fire on my altar, never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. I want to seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord.
Lord, make me a house,
oh,
make me a house of prayer,
a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out, the fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out,
make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, oh Lord.
Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out, the fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out, make me a house of prayer. The fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. We pray, Lord,
make me a house. Make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, oh Lord. May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never
burn out.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, I want to seek your face, oh Lord. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out.
Thank you. your supper at.
Day and night, night and day. Day and night, night and day. Day and night, night and day. Make me a house of bread.
We pray
day and night, night and day.
May we pray day and night,
night and day.
Seek your face day and night. Make me a house of prayer.
Make me a house of prayer.
Day and night.
Forevermore. Glory be to God. Whew. Well, if you didn't get hyped up then, something wrong. You need to get saved. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Lord, I just ask that you turn loose in all of us. You just have your way with all of us, Lord. Use our abilities to speak through our lips the things that you'd have us to speak that would change people's lives forever, that would bring revival upon the places we go, we visit, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. You know, what might be too strong for us ain't too strong for the Lord, is it? Lord can do anything. I'm telling you, I'm believing more every day that wherever your mind goes, God can go further. If there's something that comes against you, God can take it away. It ain't too big for God. That ain't a mountain out there big enough that God can't move if we just believe. And praise God about it. Confess it. We ain't never alone in this battle that he has us in, is it? Are we? We're never alone. We got God right here. Glory to God. Go ahead, Andrew, before I get all excited here.
Yeah, dunk that mountain in the water. In the waters of sanctification and cleansing. Praise God. You speak the word and it'll get dumped. Because that's the word of God. That's the word of the Almighty God and Father. We get to call him Father. Stick it in the water, that mountain, and let the word of God cleanse it from you. Praise God.
Michael, we can't hear a word you're saying.
It was good too, Julie. Glory to God. No, I was just saying, the only thing I was saying was that God, he can help us overcome any trial that we're in. But he'll do it quickly or he'll do it slowly. It makes no never mind. He'll do it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just hold on, y'all, because it's going to get better. It's getting better and better. Because what? He goes ahead of us preparing the way, don't he? And he comes behind us, speaking, Missy. Go on, girl. Amen. To walk in peace and victory. He does that for us. He makes us walk in peace and victory. And all we got to do is receive it. What, you know, everything that's trouble for us, ain't no trouble for God. Glory to God, we can walk in victory every day if we just will. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me this day before I get out this bed to walk in victory every step. Praise God. And I thank you, Lord, that all of my brothers and sisters are going to walk in victory this day. Don't forget to pray for all of us, you know. Don't forget that. Yeah. Let everyone call on the name of the Lord, be saved, and walk in peace, happiness, and joy in the Lord. And Lord, I ask and I pray that when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we do, bound out of bed, praising you for allowing us to have a good night's sleep. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. And I thank you, Lord, for saving every one of our families that we've been praying for. Your word says it. We trust you to bring it to pass, and we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Somebody ought to get fired up in here. You know what brought on most of the, if not all, of the great revivals in the world in the past? People getting together praying. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
I was going to say fasting and praying. Fasting, yep, and praying. And I thank you, Lord, you haven't called us to a fast here for a long time. But we don't limit you either, Lord. We can always fast from all kinds of stuff, Lord, so help us to do that. And Lord, I pray that you would give us grace and strength and just pour out your Holy Spirit on us, Lord, and make us that house of prayer and put that spirit in us. As Jesus prayed, you would give us that same ability, unction, strength, discipline, and the want to come seek your face and pray about the things we need to pray about, what we know about with our own personal lives, lives around us, the circumstances are going on in the world. And Jesus, you taught your disciples how to pray. And we know is to bring the kingdom of heaven down here. And so help us to do that. Help us to pray effectually when we do pray. When we don't know how to pray about something, Lord, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and tongues that we can pray perfectly. And it edifies ourselves as we do it. And it changes the atmosphere, Lord. And we just be mindful that when we are praying, there is a battle going on in the heavenly realm. And we win. And I was reminded, too, that Michael was talking and there, that Jesus, you said in the world we would have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And that's what we each have. We've all been given a measure of faith. And if we know that we are who you say that we are and that you live in us, we have the same faith as you have. And if we do not doubt in our own hearts about anything, it'll come to pass. And you will see it come to pass, that you won't fail us. And your word is power. No word of God should be void of power. So when we pray your word, and we believe, and we know we're being led of your spirit, God, we're going to see great and mighty things in our own lives and lives around us. So thank you, Lord, for doing that in each and every one of us, that we are mindful about being your, that we are your temple. We are your temple, and we are each of us. You made us all to be priests in your temple, and their job was to pray and intercede and offer sacrifices and all those things. So Lord, help us to do that as New Testament priests, and help us to be mindful of that. As Michael said, you know, pray for everybody. Pray for everybody in the fellowship. Pray for everybody here on the outreach. Pray for people we haven't seen in the outreach for a while. Pray for our brothers and sisters, Lord, who have, that we know have who have fallen, because we don't know, Lord, who they all are, if they're elect or not. But Lord, we pray that you grant repentance and bring them back, and that you're working in their hearts to convict them of their errors and their wrongs, and to restore them to their place in the body of Christ, because they're needed. If they're your elect, Lord, they're part of the fellowship. They're part of your body. That we have to love them, forgive them, pray for them as if we would want them praying for us if it was, if we were in trouble. And, anyhow, Lord, help us to love and obey you and do the things you've called us to do, and to do it with joy, and to do it because we love you and we want to promote our Father's kingdom. We want to reap the rewards too that come from that. I was thinking about what Jesus said in Matthew about when you pray, go into your prayer closet and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret, who sees in secret, and he also will reward openly. We've got to be reminded of these things, Lord, because we have a lot of things going on in our lives. So forgive us for that, for being distracted, and forgive us for allowing the enemy to come in and our flesh to get in the way of what you want to use us for. And we know we can't be praying 24/7, but as often as you lead us, Lord, because there's always things to be praying about. And I was also reminded about the prophetess Anna, who was in the temple day and night making prayers. She was in the temple praying. And I know that that's a big part of the bride's job, Esther's job. The bride, was praying, So Lord, help us to do that. Help us pick up your word, pray the scriptures, pray the prayers that are in there for us, and to pray them for ourselves and pray them for our families, pray them for our neighborhoods. And there's a lot of things going on in the world right now, Lord. And, this month of Halloween and the election coming up and the civil unrest and the wars and rumors of wars and all these things that we can be praying about, if nothing else, praying about in the Holy Spirit. Because we don't know all what your perfect plan is and timing for things. But we thank you, God, that you're in sovereign control of these things, and you're using us, and you're using our faith, and you're using our prayers. And we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us that you would even choose us to be here for such a time as this, that you want to use us. So help us to be used of you, to surrender our flesh and let you move through us, that you would glorify your name through us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for placing it in us to be a walk and talk of temple of prayer. Glory be to God. Whether we pray in the Spirit, whether we pray in English, whatever. Let us always be praying. We need to act just like Jesus. He prayed all night. He prayed all night long up on the mountain or wherever. A lot of people came to see him there many times. He'd just take off and go praying. They needed healing and all of that. That was in Luke 5. Praise God. Glory to God. Lord, I just lift up my neighbor over here to you. I thank you, Father, for breaking the chains of the enemy off of him and bringing him into the kingdom, Lord. Granting repentance to him and bringing him in. And I thank you, Lord, that you're not only going to, as he comes into the kingdom, Lord, and he gets baptized, he's healed all at once in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for Jim in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Can y'all believe with me about Jim, my neighbor? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Jim is saved, healed, and delivered. And going to be a mighty man of God. And Lord, I thank you that pride's got to go. It's gone. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Luke 6, verse 12. He went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. all night in prayer to God. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, he must have went through each one of his disciples and prayed for each one of them.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Yeah.
I guess I need to, we all need to take down each body's name. I can remember y'all. Gosh, I've been here for years. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God. Now I've got all your names written down already. All right. Anybody else want to pray? I want to pray for my brothers, my natural brothers, Marvin and David. Lord, I lift up Marvin and David to you. Lord, you know where they are with you. They're not in very good shape right now, I wouldn't think, unless something's happened in the last little bit. And I ask and I pray, Father God, that you grant repentance to Marvin and David, bring them into the kingdom in a mighty way, and let the word of God come alive to them, Lord. Let the word of God move them in a way they've never been moved before, Lord. And I thank you for it. They believe in the old stale religion that we were all brought up in. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you light a fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost be set afire in each one of them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for both Marvin and David. In Jesus' name. And I just put in my sisters too, Alanette and Sue Ellen. Lord, I ask that you light a fire in them too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Whew. Praise God. All right. That's done. Lord, I ask for John Schaffner too, my old buddy. He's claiming that he's got dementia. He's claiming that he has COPD. I ask that you place it in his mind and his mouth to start confessing the good confession. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you bring salvation to John too. Bring repentance to him. And that it would be a wonderful repentance that he would come into the family, that he'd be the first one in his family to come to the Lord. And I praise you and thank you for doing that for John. Jesus' name. Satan, I'll break your power off of him, keeping him from coming into the kingdom right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing John in. Glory to God. All right, who's next? That sounds like the morning meeting, don't it, Missy, Julie? Who's next? Anybody got anything they want to say about what we talked about already or anything else? Yeah, Julie.
That little thing that you read from, you didn't read the whole thing, but is that online somewhere? Or did you, where'd you find that?
It was online, and he was preaching it, and I transcribed it.
Okay.
You know, you can on YouTube, I don't know if y'all know this, if you go down at the bottom in the section where the text is, it'll say more, and you can hit that more. And it'll have a thing down there that says transcribe. And you can hit that, and it's got it's transcribed over on the right-hand side over there. Yeah. And you can copy and paste it into Word or wherever.
Okay, so that was something he preached on online. It was on YouTube.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Thank you. That was good.
He called it, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And you could probably go online and find it pretty quick, pretty easy. He does a real good job. He does a whole lot better job than I do. Of course, he gets paid the big bucks, too. Ah, thank you, Lord. But he's got a good heart.
We're getting paid the big bucks, too, Michael. Don't forget.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. Lord, send a card. Amen. Thank you, Father. Y'all are awful quiet tonight. What happened? I hope we got to thinking about things. That's how what I'm hoping. Oh my. Here's part seven, Judy and all of y'all. Amen. Lord, light a fire in us. Glory to God. He says, if you can beat the enemy in prayer, you'll beat him on every level. You'll read the word, there's grace flowing through you, you'll have an appetite for the things of God. For me standing in front of two people on Tuesday night, I used to do that, he said. The first offering I took on a Sunday was $85. Well, he got more than I did on the first time I did. Tithes and offerings. Well, we know about tithes and offerings, don't we? Big churches, all they have tithes and offerings. God's going to take it out. Oh, he said, but in closing, let me tell you some of the last. This is not Jim here, I don't think. But it might be, yeah. It's him. Let me tell you some of the last lessons I learned from this wonderful truth. He's talking about praying. He said, because I'm not trying to preach down to anyone, I'm preaching to myself as I'm talking to you. About 8 or 9 years ago, my daughter, who is here today, she got away from us. She got away from not only us, she got away from God and got away from our house. My wife and I went through a 2.5 year long nightmare that I don't want to get into. And I promised God as I was getting at the end of it, as He brought me through that, whatever, wherever I got a chance. I promised God that no matter how hard it would be, as He's my witness, I would tell people that God does in answer, what God does in answer to pray. You know what that feeling is to not know where your daughter is. She grew up as a model child. And I have two other children. Chrissy is now 25. I have a daughter 21 and a boy 18. But at that time, Chrissy was about 17, 18. At that time, it was, I'm talking, a nightmare. I'm talking about getting my car, leaving my house to go to church in the inner city where I'm going to face 10 new people who visit who are HIV positive and a battered woman and no neat family units and everything discombobulated. I don't want to be the focus. I'm supposed to be there, Carol and I, to minister to them. But I'm crying from the minute I leave my door till I get to the church and saying, God, my heart is broken. My nerves are shot. I've screamed, I've begged, I've pleaded, tried to use money, reasoned, cried, and she's getting worse and not getting better. How am I going to minister? We're starting other churches, renting Radio City Music Hall. Starting new churches in the city, going to South America. And Carol is writing songs and making albums. But no one knows, very people know, we are hanging by a thread. All the times I drove and cried out to God coming in and said, God, please just get me through these meetings. We have 11, 3:30, and 7:30 services. Each about 2 hours long or more. God, just get me through another Sunday. And God would just lift me, and I would have the grace to get through and minister to people, even though inside I was just so shaky. And I learned that when you pray, God comes. And I learned that when you have no logical way to stand, God somehow, when you pray, gives you fresh feet and a fresh foundation. We have a prayer band in our church. It's a more important ministry than the 240-voice Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. There's a prayer band that not only pray through each service, about 20 of them, while I'm preaching and ministering, but now they pray for several years now, from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 6 o'clock in the morning. And if any of you have some need, you can just mail it to our church, and someone will pray for it at 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's an amazing thing how God honors that. They began to pray for me as my witness, and I would sense myself at night sometimes, or shaving in the morning. I would feel God's grace just come underneath me and begin to steady me and hold my emotions. And I hadn't even been thinking about God. And I would say, Lord, what is this that has just come into my life? Somebody's praying for you. As people would be praying for me, God blessed them. Then my wife got ill and had to have a hysterectomy, and the hormonal imbalance she ended up with. My daughter's out of the house, the other two children. I'm doing the best chance I can. And now my wife is not just talking about leaving New York, which she wanted to, because the enemy had told her, fine, start your churches and influence people for Christ, but I'm going to have all of your children. I've got one, and I'm coming for the other two. And my wife believed it. My wife told me, you can leave with me or you can stay, but I'm leaving because he already has Chrissy, and I'm not losing my other two kids. Enough with this. We can't do this. The atmosphere in the city, New York, is a miserable place to be. I'm not there because I like it. I'm here because God put me there. Then after the operation, she's talking about she doesn't feel any reason to live any longer. And I mean, what do? Your wife is flipping out. Your daughters, you're preaching. You're doing all of these things. And I'm just telling you how wonderful it is to know that at the throne of grace, no matter what's happening, God can lift you and hold you. And what a wonderful day. What a wonderful God. Well, I don't know if you know the story, but he lost his oldest daughter, and the Lord talked to him about it. Glory be to God. All right. It's not about me, y'all. Somebody else talk. Go ahead, Julie.
You said they lost their oldest daughter. Lost her to what? That she went the other way? She died?
No,
or she
she died.
She reprobated?
Let's see.
She died.
One November, after about 2 years had passed, Chrissy was away. God and I got totally alone in Florida. And God spoke to me and said, I know you've been praying for Chrissy. That's his oldest daughter. The impressions I got were basically this. And I don't want to sound mystical or sensational, but I'm just going to tell you from my heart. No more talking to Chrissy. No more talking to anyone else. No more money, no more screaming, no more crying. Drop it. Just tell me. Let's make a covenant. You just tell me, and I'll take care of it. And I told my wife, I'm not going to see my daughter until she's right. And that's my first child. My wife kept in touch with her. Months went by. Christmas, sad February night. Oh, it was Christmas, sad. February night in the prayer meeting, my house shall be called a house of prayer. We were all praying, calling on God, waiting on God, you know. Nobody in charge, no choir, no speaker. Who needs it if you have Jesus? And it's amazing how wonderful he is. And someone sent a note up to me, a young lady who's sensitive to the Lord, and sent the note up through an usher. And the note said, "I feel deeply impressed that we should stop the prayer meeting and pray for your daughter." I looked at the note. People were praying all around me, and I said, "God, is this really you? And I don't want to be the center of attraction. People have their own needs." But I felt impressed it was. I stopped the meeting after a while, and everyone gathered together in that room, in that church, and held hands over 1,000 people probably that night. I called one of my associate pastors in the front, and he began to pray, and all I can tell you, and I don't know what your theology is, and it really doesn't matter because I'm just going to tell you what happened. You know where Paul said, "I travail like a mother giving birth till Christ be formed in you"? And I told the people, "My daughter thinks up is down and down is up. She thinks light is dark and dark is light. And unless God visits her and intervenes, my daughter is out there. And someone wants me to stop the meeting so you can pray. My associate's going to come and he's going to pray." And suddenly it turned into a labor room. Have you ever heard a woman when they're having labor? It's not pleasant, but it has some great results. And they began to pray. I was overwhelmed by it. With God as my witness, I was overwhelmed by it. They went to the throne of grace. Like, "And now, Satan, you will give up that girl." And they prayed. I came home. My wife wasn't there that night. And over a cup of coffee at night, I said, "Carol, it's over." She said, "What's over?" I said, "It's over. If there's a God in heaven, what I just experienced tonight, it is over. Finito, it's over." And just about a day later, I was shaving. No, she didn't die either. I was shaving. My wife burst into the bathroom and said, "Chrissy is here." I hadn't seen her in 4 months. "And you better go down." I went down the steps, and on the kitchen floor was my daughter on her knees. When I walked in the kitchen, she grabbed at my pants leg. She pulled and was weeping and said, "Daddy, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against myself. I've sinned against you and mommy. Daddy, forgive me for being rebellious. Daddy, it's different." But Daddy, who was praying for me? Who was praying Tuesday night for me? "What, Chrissy, what happened?" She drew up to me in the middle of the night. God woke me up and showed me I was heading towards a chasm and it had no bottom. But Daddy, even as he showed me that and showed me how off I was, he put his arms around me and showed me that he loved me and had a plan for my life. And Daddy, I've made it right with God. And I could tell by her face that she was my daughter again, the one I had raised. Very soon, God opened the door. And for the next 4 years, she directed a music program at a Bible school. She married a man of God. They're both in the ministry today. And God reminded me once again, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Because when you call, I will answer. And the hard cases that some of you are facing, I'm going to tell you now, it won't come from another seminar. Seminars have their limit. All they can do is be an arrow to send you to the throne of grace. But when you get there, watch out, because God can do exceedingly beyond what we ask or think. I'm not being emotional. I'm not being simplistic. We have too many technicians now invading the church that are into methodology. The answer is not in methodology. The answer is in the power of the Holy Spirit. The answer is in the grace of God. Praise God. What makes it tear-jerking is some of us have children like that. I've got a daughter like that, just same way. And Lord, I pray the same prayer, Lord, and I'm just going to wait on you to work in Courtney's life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Pat. Praise God.
Yep. Can you repeat who you were reading from? Because some people missed it, Michael.
Same thing. That was Jim Cimbala. You mean the whole thing?
It was from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. It was
My
the
house.
Pastor there.
Yeah, Jim Cimbala. Cymbala. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And that was just, that's just a portion of it. There's 7 or 8 chapters of it. And it's, if you go on YouTube, you can hear him tell it. And it's really a good sermon, teaching on praying and results of what happens when you do pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for placing it in our hearts to keep believing for our family members that have strayed away. And it doesn't look like, Lord, in our mind's eyes, that anything can stop them. But we know that you can stop anything. The enemy does not, cannot overpower you. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you bring all of our children in. You're going to bring all of our children. It makes no difference what they're doing. Thank you, Jesus. And that's something we ought to be always doing, is praying for our children and our loved ones, brothers and sisters. Yeah, all our family members. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Anybody else? Is that it, Pat?
That one starts out, he's in with, forgot the guy's name, but he's in with another ministry or something. They just introduced him.
Okay, yeah, he's at another place.
Yeah.
He wasn't into Brooklyn Tabernacle.
Yeah, I don't, so I'm assuming that's it.
I don't know if that's it. If it's only 10 minutes long, it might be it. I don't remember.
No, that one that I just posted is 53 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was
Barbara.
About an hour.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Julie.
The one that Barbara just posted for 10 minutes is titled Jim Cimbala's Drug Addicted Daughter Has Encounter with Jesus. And I don't know
that's the little portion I just read, probably.
Okay, yes, 10 minutes. I don't know that this is the pastor or if it's somebody else sharing it. So anyhow, that's what Barbara just posted, and that's 10 minutes.
Yeah. But that one Pat put up is the whole thing, I think, is an hour long. Yeah, he's just standing up there talking to folks. He's pretty nice guy, seemed like. He was a good basketball player too, by the way. All right, anyone else? Spending time alone with the Lord is imperative for a good walk with Him. Thank you, Lord God. And you know, we gotta have that same attitude. I'm talking to myself now. I've got to have that same attitude that Jesus had. I don't care what's coming up. I need to go spend time with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Nothing should get in the way of our time with the Lord. And I have been so lax in that. And I just repent of it in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for helping me to say, nope, I got to have time with the Lord. Y'all back off and do what that sign says out there on the door. And praise God. And it'll work. It'll work. Because if you get loud, if I get loud in here, they ain't coming in here. And I do. I get loud sometimes. What's that country boy doing up there? I sound like he's talking to the Lord. I could, you know, that's the great thing about living with David. He's downstairs and I'm upstairs. He don't like to walk up them stairs either. No, he'll come up here and lay down on my bed, act like it's his, you know. Which is fine. That's great for me. I don't care. And we'll sit here and talk for a couple of hours sometime. Yeah, like brothers. Yeah. I have to remind him sometimes, Julie, who's the oldest?
You just told your age, because he
What's
told
that?
us. You just told your age because he just told his age not very long ago, because I was just listening to something where he said how old he was. So
I don't care.
I know, I'm
I'm
just messing with
you,
you.
you you may not you may not you may not recognize me, but I'm about 30 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, aren't we all? Praise God.
Amen. DNA restoration is already here. I feel it coming. I feel it in my bones. Glory to God. How many of you have ever had, and I'm not saying this to make anybody feel good, bad, or otherwise, have had an open vision that was just clear as a bell?
Few and far between, but I've had a few.
Huh?
Few and far between, but I've had a few.
Yeah. I had one the other night while we were singing, "I Surrender." Yeah, Anna.
Since you brought it up, Michael, can I ask a question about
Sure.
this?
Yeah.
Maybe it might even be just kind of directed toward everybody here, but I have never had an open vision. I've heard people talk about them. It seems maybe a lot of people don't, but I've had what I call like a mind's eye vision, where the Lord shows me something so clear in my mind. And I just am curious about other people's experiences. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a vision, but if people call that a vision, is that a vision?
Yeah.
I'm just always kind of curious.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you see in your mind's eye that pops up that you didn't promulgate. It's like the vision I had the other night, Anna. It was clear as a bell. Clear as a bell. We were singing I'm Surrender. And I saw the door opening up, Anna's door opening up, the front door opening up. And Jeanette stepping up in there, smiling like a what we used to say, a possum eating yellow jackets. She had a great big smile. And Anna, she was wearing a red outfit. Lord, tell me, won't be long now, Michael. I said, get me ready, Lord, get me ready. Praise God. Yeah, Julie.
What Anna was just describing, I've heard other people describe that they're seeing things very clearly in their mind's eye, like they see a vision of things in their mind. And I've heard other people describe that it's not like an open vision, like you just saw, your wife walk in the door and you saw it. It was like right there. Yeah, I think I don't know if they call them seers, S-E-E-R. Seers, if that's what maybe that they are, they see things in their spirit, that way. I don't know if that's in the New Testament or Old Testament or whatever, but I think that's what it is. But still a vision,
Still a vision.
you're seeing it. Yeah, it's still a vision. The Lord's putting it in your mind. Yeah.
Yeah,
Thank you, Lord.
that's how a lot of people see angels. I wish Debbie was in here. She's not. But I see angels like that. I see angels, while we're in fellowship. That time when I saw Jesus come up, that was an open vision. He came up, he was there. I loved it. I had got to go over and tell that Lord told you to stand up. I loved it. Yeah, Pat.
Did David ever say anything, I mean, to you about that particular experience? Did he sense the Lord? You said that he came over and gave David a big hug.
He asked the Lord himself if that really happened, and the Lord said, yeah, he did. He said it did, or his angel, I'm sorry, told he asked his angel, did that really happen? And the angel told him, yeah, it happened. Everything Michael said that was it was true. What I saw in Pat, he was coming. If you can picture that room in Anna's house, it was right in front of where David and Yelena used to sit. That he came up out of the floor, and he was coming. I said, that's Jesus. And he was coming up, and as he was coming up, he was smiling real big, and he said, ask David to get up and dance with me. At first he said, ask him to get up. He said, I want to dance with him. So I went over, and David was sitting down during enemy's camp song, and I went over, and where David sits right beside me over there across the doorway. And I went over, I said, Jesus is right there, and he said for you to stand up. So David stood up, and the Lord went over there and gave him a great big hug. Big hug. And then he backed off and he said, tell him to dance with me. I said, David, the Lord said, dance with him. Well, he went to shuffling around, like that. And Lord and him was having a great time, I'm telling you. Lord was having, he was laughing. He was having an awesome time. And, the next day he told me, he said, I had some reservations about that. He said, but I asked the Lord and the angels if that happened, and all of them told me, yeah, that really happened. So, you can see, you can believe or not. I've seen in
That's
my
in the
mind.
mouth of two or three witnesses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've seen my angel standing right there. I'm sitting here one day, y'all, and I said, Lord, let me see Ariel and see where he's at. I want to see what he looks like. And boy, he did. He opened his eyes up to see. Ariel's a big angel, and he has white wings, big white wings on him. And what does it mean? I forget what his name means. I got it written down over there. But he was standing there over my bed. And I've seen him a few times after that. How many other people have had visions and things like that? Ask the Lord to do it. Ask the Lord to do it for you if you want to. He'll
Hey,
let you see
Joe.
him.
Joe, don't you have visions? I think Joe has visions sometimes.
Yeah. Hi, Joe. He might be fell asleep.
No. I'm never asleep. Maybe drifting off of sleeping. No, I got quite a few visions. Maybe I just ask you for interesting. I got usually it's very few I got with my eyes open, but I got most of my visions is what I see is my eyes closed if I'm maybe just I'm praying or just sitting or something and just seeing it like that. But what did you call Mike? What is the difference between an open and a closed vision?
What did he say,
What would
Judy?
you describe? How do you describe it?
He asked you what would be the difference between an open vision and a closed vision.
Well, a closed vision, in my opinion, is what you see, and you can see it, but it's not as clear. You know they're there. Yeah, it's in your mind, and you can see it. It's nothing that you had thought about to begin with, but it just appears in your mind, and you see it. An open vision is where you can see with your eyeballs what's going on.
Thank you.
That's what happened to me the other night. I saw that door open. I said, "Who is that out there?" Lord just wanted me to see her. That's all. He just wanted me to see her. And I did. She was wearing a red outfit of some description. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Lord's good to us in ways like that, you know? When you get in a place to where you need some encouragement, the Lord will encourage you. Yeah, Pat.
Few weeks ago, I was when we were the Outer Banks group. I wish I could. I'm just going to say this generally because I don't remember the exact story. But one of the ladies came up to me. It was actually after that morning meeting, and she mentioned something about she had a dream. And oh, her ex-husband, this is what it was, her ex-husband years ago, evidently it was a difficult relationship and they had divorced, and her ex-husband committed suicide. And she told the story about how she was just torn up over and devastated because she felt that she wasn't strong enough to stay in their marriage and help him through the process or whatever it was. And doggone it, I start this and I forgot how it ended, but she had a dream of him coming back, and she and her I don't know exactly, I can't remember exactly now how the dream was. I wish I could, but she had taken it very negatively, like that, this was oh, she took it as though he was coming back and telling her that he was fine or something like that. I'm sorry, I don't remember what the deal was, but at the time, the Lord just it kind of impressed me that that was the Lord bringing this dream to her to show her that she wasn't the cause of this thing, that she and that he was taking the Lord was taking care of her husband, and that she wasn't at fault. And I wish I could remember exactly what she said. There was a lot of things happened that day or whatever, but it was interesting because I mean I've had dreams, obviously, like quite a few dreams now after I asked the Lord about having them. And so it just, I don't know, it just kind of hit because I was listening to it, and it was almost like I was seeing the reason for that dream that the Lord gave her or whatever. And then lo and behold, somebody then came up later and told me that they had a dream about it. So it was kind of interesting. But I haven't had any open visions, but I have had a lot of and the only thing I can call it is thought progression. And it's a basic point or a principle or a thought that becomes very clear. It become I it's like I understand it perfectly, and then I will it's like I'm speaking, it's like I'm presenting something, and I will go from one thought to the next thought and completely lay out the progression of this whatever it is, principle or thought or whatever. And it just seems like it happens. I just go from oh, I'll just follow the thoughts and go from one thing to the next to the next. And then lo and behold, that night when say, well, I'll get home from work or whatever, I'll sit there and try to write it down or think about it, and it does not come. It's like I can't remember the bullet points, but the thought progression that happens when I follow it, it's like I'm just following a trail. I have one thought and think about that, and then I'll speak about how that happens, and then it transitions into the next. It's like a cause and effect thing where you just like one thing causes the next, and you're just like picking up clues and going from one thought to the next. I don't know. I know that that is not me, it's because in that process, when that happens, I'm not leading the pack, shall we say. I'm not leading the process. I'm following the clues. So anyway, but I don't know if that's the same thing or related or what. I don't know, but all I know is that when it happens, I definitely feel like I'm a observer of the process, that I'm simply observing this process and following the thoughts one to the next. So anyway. That's it.
Amen. All right. Who's next? I look at the hearts going, good gracious sakes alive. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it could be a, words of knowledge is coming in. I remember one time listening to William Branham speaking in the things he gets was he would just whatever he heard, that's what he spoke. He'd speak it. I don't know if that's the same thing, but it sounds like it may be. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
I have been, seems like the Lord has been enhancing, I don't know if it's enhancing my desire or bringing a bit of a change in my desire or thinking or something. But I'm drawn to the, I guess the, I wouldn't say militant, but the more forceful warrior, warrior-like themes, even in some of the music that I've been listening to. A lot of times I will. Like on my way home from work, I'll just plug in a song on YouTube and then it'll go from one to the next, etc. And it's like the last 2 or 3 weeks, everything has been like a warrior, like the only thing I can say is it's like a warrior theme, a battle theme. I think I, sent in a song it's been a month or two ago, and it almost sounds like maybe Hebrew or not Hebrew, but there's a Hebrew Old Testament influence type thing, but the songs are it's not the light, and not that there's anything wrong with this, but it's not the light and lovely and heartwarming and touch of tear in my eye type of songs, but it's more like, boom, 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 the battle cry type of thing, I mean, I have one right now that I could play, and it'd probably be easier to listen to than it would be for me to. But the last one that I listened to was called Warrior Bride. And as I listened to the words, it almost reminded me, and it's doing something in my mind because it's like it's contrary to how you would think as a bride, I guess you might say. But the Lord's body is the bride. I mean the bride of Christ, it's called the bride. It's called, it's the woman, the wife type thing. But like, there's a, that's, I just had been thinking about that scripture related to, in, I'm going to it real quick. In Matthew, when, Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, and he said, "From John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And there's, I think, something about the end time church is going to be, is a warrior church, is going to be a warrior battle, because I don't know if it's because of the sense or the awareness of the heavenly battle, more of an intense awareness of the actual heavenly battle. And that battle we must take by the sword of the Spirit and take down and take it forcefully. The weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. All of these things in the scripture point to us as being, being warriors, that we're in a battle. And there's something about, and I guess I'm probably, I think the point being, maybe, that the Lord is getting to is that the structure of the organized church today is a church, is a structure that is built on passivity. Just the whole Nicolaitan scenario is structured in such a way that, one man and, his wife or whatever, and they do the whole ministry for the church, and then two or three times a week people come in and sit in the pews, and they pay their tithes or whatever and listen to a good message and go home, and that is the extent of church. And it's very, it puts people in a passive state, because that's just the way that system functions. And I don't know if maybe I'm have am still carrying the shroud of that influence or whatever, but the and so maybe this is, why the Lord is focusing me in on these things, is that, there's the thing about dominion. He has given us the authority. All authority is his, and he has given us authority to take dominion, and to take dominion, or take the authority, exert, express, exercise authority over your environment, your condition, wherever you're at, in order to influence and take dom and make that area, that dominion, God's possession, God's dominion, because all dominion belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And and he's given us a part to exercise that authority and establish that dominion where, where we are. And I'm not saying, it could be your household, it could be your city, it could wherever the Lord should open up your eyes, that that dominion that you that he's placed you there to influence and take and establish, that his dominion there. So it can, I guess I'm just starting to see, there was one scripture that hit me very early when I was a young Christian, and it was in Jeremiah, the first chapter of Jeremiah, when God is talking to Jeremiah, and He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I have appointed thee prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Lord God, I know not how to speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I'm a child, for whosoever I shall send thee, thou shalt go, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak. And then he says, be not afraid because of them, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. The Lord put his hand, put forth his hand and touched his mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And now, and then listen to what he says to him. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, and to build and to plant. And when I first saw that, I thought, wow, that's almost sounds, well, it does sound a little destructive. There's four words or four things there that are very destructive, and then the very end of it is to build and to plant. And I believe that that is a reference. In my opinion, it's a reflection or a reference of the end time church, as Daniel said, that mountain, that stone, and that mountain on that mountain made without hands that will roll down that mountain and strike that end time beast on the feet and bring that whole structure to the ground. That in and of itself is a destructive type of blow. And obviously we know that, we have been called, not to take up arms. We've been called to turn the other cheek. We've been called, to do all these things, not to take physical damage against people. But yet there is a warrior and there is a tearing down of strongholds and a building up of the proper foundations. So I don't know. To me, it seems like the Lord is bringing that concept more alive in me. And so I just say that and thank you, Lord, for doing so in me, and let your word bring us all into this place of cooperating with you and listening to your voice, walking in your ways, and dismantling the structures, the spiritual structures that go against your kingdom, in such a way that you can rebuild on proper foundations and bring your church in this end time into its proper place in relationship with you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Has anybody here heard of Forest Ranger, gospel singer, musician? Well, he's very popular in the Christian music. New guy. And from what I learned, I don't know anything about him myself. I've heard him. I did get on and listen to one of his songs. But he sings gospel. He sings songs that are from the Bible, seems like. But he has the attitude, as far as a Christian musician is concerned, that God ought to get the glory of everything that we do, because he gave him the the wherewithal to do what he does. And what he did, he came out and said, I will not accept a Dove Award if it ever comes my way, and things like that. And it really got the ire of some of the top Christian musicians, so-called Christian musicians, and they started mocking him and saying some bad things about him because he wants to stay. He wants the Lord to get the praise and not himself. And from what I understand, he's very focused on the Lord, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to please the Lord. So let's pray for him. I have never heard of him till Wednesday. And yeah, Missy.
Did you say Forrest Frank?
I might have said
Because I
something
think
else,
I
but
saw
that's what I
something
meant.
recently about him too, about
Yeah,
that.
Forrest Frank. That's who it is. Forrest Frank.
Yeah.
I think I
What'd
said
you say about
Ranger,
him, Missy?
didn't
What'd you say about him, Missy? Well, he doesn't want to accept any Dove Awards and stuff like that. And I forget when it was, a couple months back at least, I recently heard about him too. The Lord miraculously healed his back too. He had broken some vertebrae in his back. And they were mocking him over that too. They were making
Yeah.
fun of him.
Well, Lord, we just lift up Forrest Frank to you, Lord, and we ask and we pray that you would bless him mightily, Lord, that he would bless other people mightily. And we thank you for that, Father. He seems like a humble guy and doesn't want to do anything but please you, Lord. And we ask that you shut the mouths of the unchrist-like musicians that are coming against him in Jesus' name. Yeah, Missy.
Yeah, they. I won't say. There was one in particular that did his own rendition of mocking him about his healing, and the guy apologized to him. And now they're like, they really talk a lot. They never had met before or whatever, and but there were other Christian musicians were doing their own. Like testimonial, making fun of it, but they're making light of it. But I don't. It's like I don't. Like there was this one. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked that this one singer did this. And I'm like thinking, what were they thinking? I don't think they were doing it to be mean. I think they were doing it to be funny. But it came across mean because they were making light of something. That was very serious to him, and he did a video about it. And then this one brother singer, whatever, apologized for it, and they talked about it and everything. But I was just like, you know, and I thought, you know, Lord, this is good that they're talking about this now, and they can be open, you know, and like the guy that kind of made made fun of it, he said, with my upbringing, I had a horrible upbringing when I was a kid, and and the way I dealt with things that were hard to deal with is with comedy, with humor, you know? And so, you know, they just, you know, talked about, you know, their own personal lives and situations and all,
Amen.
and it turned out good. It turned out good, but still, anyway, so praise the Lord. Lord, just thank you, Lord, for using this, Lord, to draw more sensitivity and learn not to make light of other people's situations or whatever, even if you don't mean it to be mean. Just coarse joking, I guess, is what the Bible would call it or whatever. But anyway, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that for any that have done this, convict them, Lord, and help us all to be sensitive towards each other and not to poke fun at people's misfortunes or whatever, Lord, and just to love each other, Lord, and support each other and encourage each other, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we're out of time now. Lord, thank you for tonight's meeting. We praise you, Father, for placing it in our hearts to pray more and do more warfare for each other. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Y'all be blessed.